Good evening, Rabbi. Thank you for joining us this evening. Be'ez Hashem, we will be engaging in the minhag, the din d'oraisa of Hataras Nedarim in just a few days before Rosh Hashanah. Most people do. Some people do it before Yom Kippur. Most people have the minhag erev Rosh Hashanah. But Hataras Nedarim is really something that you could do anytime, anywhere, and it happens to be that we do it as a sort of a catch-all on Erev Rosh Hashanah, just in case there might have been something that we don't remember that we want to cover ourselves in. But I want to talk about the mitzvah or the halacha of Hataras Nedarim. So first of all, it's important to realize that the din of Hataras Nedarim is going to be a din d'oraisa. So when you sit there, even though it seems like it's only a minute to do Hataras Nedarim, well, it's a minute to do Hataras Nedarim, but the Hataras Nedarim that you're doing is a din d'oraisa. When you are matir neder, it is though you are engaging in a din mid'oraisa. Now, the first part that I want to discuss is very practical. Very often you have, on Erev Rosh Hashanah, you have dozens and dozens of people, and sometimes you sit down, and you realize it would be a lot faster if you could have three people sit down, and then have a whole bunch of people together, be matir neder all together. That's not usually what we do. Usually we do, you know, groups of four, three sit, one is matir neder. And then you switch, you play musical chairs, each one, every person gets up, does his Hataras Nedarim, the other three sit. Now, is that necessary? Or could we do something more of a mass Hataras Nedarim to save time, which would be very convenient? So, to figure out the answer to that question, I would like to dedicate the next few minutes. And believe it or not, the sugya starts not with the Gemara, but with the Pasuk. The Pasuk in Matos, if you have the first source on the page, talks about not Hataras Nedarim, but Hafaras Nedarim. And there's, of course, a very significant interplay between the mitzvah d'oraisa of Hafaras Nedarim, that a husband could annul his wife's Nedarim, and the Hataras Nedarim that a Beis Din does. Does anyone know a very significant difference between Hafara that a husband does and Hatara that a Beis Din does? Both are d'oraisa. Anyone know a very big difference? Hafaras Nedarim is only Mikanu Lahaba. A husband can only be made for neder from now going forward. Hataras Nedarim is matirit, even retroactively, if I remember correctly. Yeah. I might have said that wrong. There might have been a difference between Pesach and Harata, which we'll talk about later. Okay, that might be... Okay, we'll have to hold that. So the Pasuk says in Parashas Matos, Vim piyom shema isha, yoni osa.
If it's Mul Mafreya, and if somebody was over on the neder,
they're not in trouble.
And then he's not over anything because it's always Mafreya.
That's correct. That's good, right. That's correct. That would come out being the difference. So the Pasuk says that a husband, if he hears it, biyom, on the day that his wife makes the neder, so then he has the capacity to be made for her neder. Vim biyom shmo isha yani osa. He's made for it. He's meini, which is he refuses, he rejects, he cancels it, the neder. And he does Hafaras Nedarim, then that knocks away the nether. And we're going to be focusing on one word, on the word Osa. Because, believe it or not, the Gemara raises a very similar question to the question that I just asked you about next Monday. And that is, let's say a husband has two wives. Or, we'll see if the same would apply to a wife who had multiple Nedarim. Could he do one Hafara for both wives? Both wives are screaming at each other, and they, you know, people used to make nedarim when they would be angry at each other. I, madu, you can't get any hana from me. You scoundrel, you can't get any hana from me. And they each of them madu one another. So could he in one fell swoop be mefer both of them, excuse me, simultaneously? That's the Gemara's question in Darim Ayin Gimel. Let's look at the second source in Darim Ayin Gimel. Ibailahu. Baal mahu sheyefer l'shtei nashav v'vasachas. Could it be Mayfair both of his wives simultaneously? The Gemara clarifies, what's our question? When the Pasuk says that he should be, that the husband should be Yani Osa, he should annul it, in the singular, is that Dafka, it meaning only one? A Lav Dafka, it's Lav Dafka, it could be as many as they might be. So now, we're going to have a Machlokas. Everyone's going, let's see what the Machlokas is. Amar Avina, Tashma. If you look in a different area, at Sota, could, let's say a husband has two wives. Both of them turn into sotas without going into the details of how they turned into sotas. He accused them and they were hanging out with somebody that they shouldn't be, and we don't know if anything happened with their and their fellow who they're hanging out with. So could you be both, bring both of them to the basin at the same time and give them both to drink at the same time? The Gemara says you're not allowed to do that. Why? Mepnesha libo gas bechaverta. And the Ran explains, what does it mean? It means that each one, if one of them sees that her friend is willing to drink the sota waters, what's involved when you drink the sota waters? They have to scratch off a parsha, including Shem Hashem, put it into the water, and let the sota drink the water. But wait a second. So that means in order to do that, you're erasing Hashem's name. So if one of the co-wives, right, they usually don't like each other, sees that her co-wife, A, wife A, is drinking the sota water, so co-wife B might have been willing to admit, co-wife B might have been willing to admit that she did something wrong, or, you know, get out of it, not lead, and therefore you could preempt the possibility of erasing Hashem Hashem. But if she sees her friend, you know, going ahead and drinking the water, she's going to also want to drink the waters, even though she might have on her own been willing to admit her wrongdoing and prevent the Hashem Hashem from being erased. And therefore, in order to prevent this sense of, I'm not going to let her be better than me, jealousy, so you want to prevent that jealousy, which will cause, it's jealousy that could cause Hashem Hashem to be erased, so therefore we don't want to ever have two sotas drink at the same time. What does that have to do with us? Absolutely nothing. But look at the next opinion. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Lo min Hashem Hu Zeh, that's not the right reason why we don't drink two sotas together. Ela mishum, the reason why we don't want to have two sotas drink at the same time, Shenemar v'hishka osa, the Torah says you should give her to drink. What does that teach us? Osa in the singular to mean levada. So that means, according to this Rabbi Yehuda, this second opinion, by sota we use the word osa to be very specific. Osa and not she and her friend. Osa limited to one and not her and her friend. So if that's the case, what would we say by the same word osa that appears in our pasuk, by not by sota, but the pasuk that appears by Hafaras Nedarim, where it says Yoni osa? He would say osa, you could be made for your wife's neder, one of them, and not a second wife, not another wife's. So we have to figure out, how do we paskin? We had a brice, we had this tashma regarding sota. The first opinion said that there's a very specific reason why you don't give women to two wives to drink, because it's going to cause jealousy, it's going to cause Hashem's name to be erased. Nothing to do with Hafar Sundarim or Hatar Sundarim. But the second opinion says, Rabbi Yehuda says, that by sota we learn from the word osa to mean one woman and not two women. So therefore, according to, if we pass like the second opinion of Yehuda, that that's the real reason why you don't give a sota to two sotas to drink. So the word osa that appears by us, by Hafaras Nedarim, also mean one wife and not two wives. How do we paskin? Because if we paskin, like Rabbi Yehuda, the second opinion, that the word osa always means her and not a second wife, well, it's going to mean that by sota, you only do one wife and not two wives at the same time. It will also mean by Hafaras Nedarim, you could do one wife and not two wives at the same time. Well, if you can't do two wives at the same time, you probably can't do two people by Hataras and Dharma also at the same time. On the other hand, if you pass like the reason by sota, like the first bullet point, the reason by sota why you can't be mashka to sotas is just for the very, very specific svara that applies within the conversation of sota. One girl will be jealous from the other, one wife will be jealous of the other. It has nothing to do with Hataras and Dharma. So there's no limitation to how many people you could do Hafaras Nedarim for, how many people you could. We don't learn the word osa literally. This one and not that one, no. Just means be made for the neder. Doesn't matter how many wives there are, how many Nedarim there are. Go ahead and do whatever you want. So how do we paskin? So let's see the Ran, who goes down a few lines into the Ran. First of all, by the way, how would you say, how would a husband be made for Nedarim for multiple wives? Instead of saying mufar lach, we say mutter because we're doing hataras nedarim. A husband does hafaras nedarim to cancel his wife's neder, so he would say mufar lach, and to multiple wives he would say mufar lachen. Right? So what would happen if you'd have hataras nedarim to multiple people? You would say mutar lachem. Right? That's what you see from this Ran. Hello, Avi. Nice to see you. So let's look at this Ran. The Ran says, "Ulinyan halacha, how do we paskin? Ulinyan halacha, ikaman de amar, de Ravina." If you look here at the two bullet points, that was brought by Ravina. When Ravina brought these two opinions regarding Sota, to Ravina, midrabanan muchach lalabayan. He's showing, when Ravina wanted to prove what's the halacha about hafaras nedarim, he brought a brisa by Sota with a no name and Rabbi Yehuda. The two bullet points that you see on your sheet, first is no name, which is Rabbanim, and then Rabbi Yehuda. Who would you paskin like? If you had a machloka as Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda, who would you paskin like? Why? Rabbim. Yeah, of course, you pass like Rabbanan. So if that's the case, the Rabbanan are the ones that say, they don't learn anything out from the word Levada, Osa, oh, just her. They don't limit the limud of the word Osa, just her and not another one. So if that's the case, look at this now, look back at this Gemara in Nedarim. Ibailu, the Gemara asks a question. Baal, what's the din of a Baal who wants to be made fair both of his wives Nedarim? Both of his wives Nedarim, yeah. Is Osa Dafka or not Dafka? Ravina says, come, he's going to bring a bride with two opinions. If we're trying to prove a halacha, what opinions do we really care about? Rabbanan or Rabbi Yehuda? We really care about Rabbanan. Well, what do Rabbanan say? Rabbanan say, there's a very specific reason by Sota why you can't be made, why you can't use two Sotas. Nothing to do with the word Osa. So that means Asa is not specifically one and not two. Asa is love dafka. Because only Rabbi Yehuda says Asa is dafka. Her and not another person. But the Tanakhama, the Rabbanan, don't say anything about Asa. So it sounds like Asa could be love dafka. That you could do multiple wives. And in fact, that's what the Ran quotes from a Tosefta. Look at that bullet point on a little further in the middle of the page. He quotes a Tosefta. The Tosefta says, Beferish, Rabbi Yosi, Bar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Omrim, Hafaras Nedarim, Me'es La'es. It has to be done, of course, within 24 hours. By the way, we don't really paskin that way. Does anyone know how quickly you have to do Hafaras Nedarim? How quickly a husband has to do Hafaras Nedarim? No? There's a mission in Nedarim that discusses whether it has to be Me'es La'es within 24 hours, or that day by sunset. Which means you don't have 24 hours, you could have 23 hours and 59 minutes, or you could have 1 minute. Depends how much before sunset the nedar is made. So we don't pass like this line about me'es leis, by the way. Okay, and it says, look at the example that the Tosefta that we're quoting at this bullet point says. Ketzad, hoyu al ishto chamish nedarim. Woman has five nedarim. You see, he's starting to talk about multiple ones. Oshahayu lo chamesh nashim. He had five wives. Pretty difficult. V'nadru kulan, and they all made a neder. V'amar, the husband said, Mufar lachen, mufarin. But if he only said, Mufar lech, to you as an individual in the singular, it only worked for that one lady. What does the Tosefta say explicitly? That you can be mefer multiple wives nedarim. If you could do that for hafaras nedarim, there's no reason why you can't do it by Hataras Nedarim. If we stop here, what could you do at Hataras Nedarim next Monday? You could have three people sit down, line up the whole shul in front of those three people. They'll all be Matir Neder, they'll all go straight to work, they'll go home. And the three people, they'll have to figure out for themselves what to do afterwards. But the shul will be very happy. Any shul that does this will definitely have more people coming. It saves a lot of time, it saves 5-10 minutes after davening. But, Ve'en Kin Das Ramban Zal. The Ramban says, no. You think that the word Osa we don't take seriously? I'm going to show you that opinion that you wanted to follow, of that Rabbanan, is a Shita by the name of Rabbi, it's unnamed. We called it Rabbanan because it didn't have a name. The Ramban says, I'll prove to you that opinion is actually an opinion who we don't hold like. So you can't hold like that first opinion by Sota. And really, we hold like the second opinion who says that you can't be mashke two Sotas because it says the word Osa, which means Osa means one and not two. If that's what the word by osa means by sota, so too by hafaras nadarim when it says the word osa in the first, what I have underlined in the first pasuk. Osa will also mean only one and not two. And in which case, the Ramban is going to assume that osa is dafka, only one and not two. If you jump down, how does the Ran Paskin, after he quotes this machlokas, second to last paragraph on page one, Kainir Ali, that osa is dafkahi, meaning when in the Torah says that your mefir osa means specifically her, in the singular, only one, you can't do multiple hafaros. You can't be mefir for multiple people. Which means what?
Pass like Rabbi Yehuda.
Which means that we pass like Rabbi Yehuda, that you can only do hataras adam one at a time. That's how the Ran concludes. What was it? It was a machlokas. And the Ran Paskins, the Ran on Nadarim, there's a Sugya Nadarim, says you can only do one at a time. But, look at how the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, now that we saw the Rishonim, Shulchan Aruch quotes a Beis Yosef. Kosav b'tshuvas laharamban. Simon Reish Ayin Dalet. Guess what Shiloh the Ramban was asked? He was asked our exact Shiloh. Could you do Hataras and Dharam with multiple people standing at the same time? Shanishal, im yichol, on top of the next page, im yichol lahatil l'shnayim or l'shlosh anashim ke'achad. In which case you would say that Bezin would say mutar, plural, mutar, what? Lachem, yeah. Could go in shiyom, resekla, mutar lachem. Could you do that? The Heshiv and the Ramban replied, matir in kamen adarm l'ishachad, you could be matir many nedarim for one person. A person says, I made a neder to give $100 to tzedakah, and I made a neder only to eat chalav yisrael. I made a neder to keep yashan. I made a neder to do this and this and this and this. All you have to respond is, matalach. And you're just matir all those nedarim. And also continues the Ramban, ulekam anashim beheter echad. The Ramban here in the Tshuvos, which is weird, because we just quoted the Ramban earlier, saying the exact opposite. The Ran quoted the Ramban saying the exact opposite. You could only do one at a time. Here we have the Beis Yosef quotes the Tshuvas Ramban. So maybe the Tshuvas Ramban is not really the Ramban. Maybe it's like the Rashba or something. I don't know. But there's something fishy there. But let's jump now to the Shulchan Aruch. How do we paskin in this Machlokas Rishonim? Matirim kamen nedarim l'ish achad. Afil beheter achad. Right? If one person has numerous nedarim, no problem. You can mat them all in one fell swoop. Ulekama anashim beheter echad. The Shulchan Aruch just paskin that you can be matir numerous people all at once. So Rabosai, what is the psak of the Shulchan Aruch? The Shulchan Aruch paskins, and this is past the psak in Hilchas Nedarim, that you can do Hataras Nedarim with numerous people standing all at once. That's the halach in the Shulchan Aruch. I wrote here, there is this opinion of the Matir Ephraim, which is not clear what he's saying. Matir Ephraim, by the way, is quoted, is a sefer just on Yomim Noraim. And he has all the details of the halachas of Yomim Noraim and the Mishnah Brura. In this section of the Mishnah Brura, Yomim Noraim quotes like every page four or five times. Matir Ephraim says this, Matir Ephraim says that, because Matir Ephraim was one of the main poskim, specifically on this. It's a very slim volume, the Matir Ephraim. It's just on halachas Yomim Noraim. So the Mishnah Brura quotes like five times on every page. In Hilchas Yom Aram, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Slichas, all those halachas. Matir Ephraim is not clear what he's saying. It might be mashma that you should only do one at a time, but that's clearly not what the Shulchan Aruch paskins. So Mikra Hadin, it certainly seems that you're allowed to do multiple people. The minhag, of course, as you've seen, is to do one at a time. Obviously. What?
There are many nedarim that you matir one all at once.
Yes, that's true. When a person says Hataras Nedarim, he is being matir all of the Nedarim that he has. But we still, the minhag ends up being that we do one person at a time. Why? I don't really know. It would definitely make time. If indeed it would be, there would be a pressure for time. Let's say a guy didn't make Hataras Nedarim Rav Rosh Hashanah. All Shteres Yimei Teshuva. And he realized it. When does he realize it? And there's always a group like this. When? Erev Yom Kippur, about 4.5 minutes before Kol Nidre. I mean, that always happens every year.
Yeah,
what?
Yeah,
and there's always a few bunch of people. Yeah, 100%. And they don't all have time. If they come to shul, you everyone's rushing and you want to say Tefillah Zaka, and you come in, 10 minutes later than you thought you were going to come in, and you're pressured for time. I would definitely say let them all be matir neder at once, instead of waiting one, then the other, and the other, which takes an extra, you know, 4 minutes, and another 4 minutes, another 4 minutes. No, do it all together, and that's mikra din, that's mutter. And
Rishon. Isn't the chazan doing that by kol nidre? He's doing that for the kehillah.
Kol nidre is a different animal. I don't want to talk about kol nidre.
He's doing it for multiple people.
So what is the chazan exactly doing? It could be that you read it along with the chazan. It's not clear. What is kol nidre? Kol nidre is a complicated thing. What is happening with the kol nidre? Is kol nidre being mahatar sandar for last year? Is it for next year? Machlokas Rishonim. We're going to talk about kol nidre a little bit later, Bezus Hashem. But you're showing that the chazan is doing it for everybody, but we'll have to, you know, figure out what's happening at kol nidre. But if you want to do your own atonement, we don't say just okay, rely on kol nidre, don't do hataras nedarim. People still do their own hataras nedarim. So if people would be pressed for time, 100% do multiple people at the same time. If you're not pressed for time, so the minhag is indeed to do it one at a time. Fine. That was the first piece of today's shir. I want to move to another point in today's shir. The other point, which I mentioned, I started between Mincha and Ma'ariv, starts with a question. A very fascinating question. There was a man, there was a businessman in a certain town, in the time of Rebbe Kveger, who made a neder. Something to do with business. I don't know what it was. It had to do with business. Maybe it had to do with a competitor, with a price, whatever. I don't know what the exact neder was, but it was a business neder. And he wanted to be matir neder. But the halacha is that you're supposed to tell the Beis Din what you want to be matir. The problem is that he didn't trust anybody with this business secret that he wanted to be matir. Whatever it was, I don't know what it was. And therefore he couldn't tell anybody. So he wants to be matir the neder, but he can't tell anybody. Now you don't have to tell all the dayanim. You only have to tell one person on the Beis Din. You don't have to tell one person on the Beis Din, but one person on the Beis Din will tell the others, I know what it is. He told me, and we're now going to sit down as a Beis Din and be matir neder. So he sends the shah to Rebbe Kveger. I know I want to be matir neder. I don't trust anybody with this business secret neder that I want to be matir. The only person in town I trust is a young boy who's recently bar mitzvah. Now, pause for a second. Recently bar mitzvah. What are we worried about? Right. Maybe he doesn't have Shtei Cyrus. Now, when it comes to a mitzvah d'rabbanan, we assume once you're 13 years old, you're bar mitzvah, everything's great. But for mitzvah d'araisa, we don't rely on that chazaka that every boy has two hairs. We're worried maybe they're not, maybe they're a little bit later in their development. So for a din d'rabbanan, we have something called chazaka of Rabba. Rabba said it's a chazaka, every boy is bar mitzvah, we assume that he has two hairs, two pubic hairs. But for a din d'araisa, like for example, reading Kriyas Parsha Zachar, we wouldn't let a bar mitzvah boy read Parsha Zachar because that's a mitzvah d'araisa. And we'd have a person who's older, who clearly has some, you know, some facial hair, who clearly has that kind of hair, read Parsha Zachar. We wouldn't let a bar mitzvah boy read Parsha Zachar. So if that's the case, we distinguish between d'rabbanans and d'araisa, my friends. Hataras nedarim is midah. Midaraisa. If it's midaraisa, that means the people sitting on the basin must be
adults.
Definitely adults. Could you have a bar mitzvah boy who just became bar mitzvah 2 weeks ago?
You can check him out.
You can check him out. Say, drop your pants in the middle of shul. I don't know if he'll appreciate that so much. Yeah, okay. Yeah, you could do that. But if you don't do that, most of the time they don't do that, just make sure you avoid it. You avoid it. So the problem was that he said, Rebbe Kveger, there's one person who I trust with his business secret. He's a 13-year-old kid, 13 and a half years old. So he can't be on the Beis Din because this is a din d'araisa. We don't rely on a boy who's just 13 if he didn't prove that he also has two hairs.
But as Yitzchak said, you can go into the bathroom privately and check it out.
I don't know. They don't like doing it. I don't know.
It's something that's not verifiable.
Yeah. I don't know if maybe the boy wouldn't be interested in that. I don't want to be matir neder with you. It's your problem. You don't want to tell him that. Why should I have to make myself embarrassed because you want to be matir neder? I don't want to be matir neder with you.
That's another story.
Why should he?
You know.
So that was the shiloh that Rebbe Kvega was asked. We're gonna see from that shiloh something fast and fascinating points. But that's gonna be the shiloh that's gonna drive our discussion. Who's kosher to be on this base then? So I mentioned between Mincha and Ma'ariv, look here in the next section, women, 13-year-olds, ketanim. Nedarim ayin zayinim at beis, the Gemara says, Amar Rabba, Amar Rav Nachman. You have it in the middle of the page? Amar Rabba, Amar Rav Nachman. Right underneath the horizontal line. Halacha. Nish'al nedarim Amar Omeid. Not like we do. We always make the dayanim sit. Nah, you don't have to sit. You could stand. Yechidi. If you have a very special Talmud Chacham, he could do it alone, even without a beis din. Balayla. Are you allowed to have a yeshiva's beis din balayla? No? But this is permitted balayla. B'Shabbos. Are you allowed to have a yeshiva's beis din on Shabbos? No. Hataras and Zarim, you're allowed to do on Shabbos. B'Krovim. You're allowed to have relatives. Wow. You're allowed to have relatives. Again, relatives means two things. It means both the Matir Neda and the Dayanim could be related. Or you could have two, three brothers sitting on the beis din together. Either way, it's mutter. Now, that which we said you're allowed to do it on Shabbos, the Gemara has a longer discussion, but here this part of the Gemara says, I feel ha'il ha'pnei mi'bald yom. Even though you had time Friday afternoon to be matir neder, you had plenty of time. You chose not to, you chose to wait to Shabbos, you're still allowed to be matir neder on Shabbos. Okay. And guess what? Look how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Nedarim says, what's hataras nedarim? Ketzel hi hatara? Yom lo gimel palmim, the basin says three times, mutalach, 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 or shalach, 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 or machalach, machalach, machalach. Either way, afilu me'umad, even if the dayanim are standing. Ubikrovim, they could be related. Ubalayla, ubishabbos, without getting into the deals about Shabbos, how, when you're allowed to be matir neder on Shabbos, that's a longer discussion. Why? So first of all, just an important detail. Does the Bezin really have to say it three times, mutalach, 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 or could they just say mutalach? So if you look at the shach, Vav, the first shach, on that which the Shulchan Aruch says you should do three times, the shach says, you don't really have to do three times, it's enough to do it one time. You could just say mutalach. That's all. Just say mutalach.
We do three.
Like the Shulchan Aruch says. The shach says it's not really necessary. You only do three, lechazek ha'inyan, to strengthen the matter. What does that do? I don't know. But lechazek ha'inyan, say three. But really, you only have to do one. You just say mutalach. That's all. Why are you allowed to do all these other things? I feel mumad. Safir, you want to shut the back door, please? Why are you allowed to all do all these things unlike a beis din? What do you mean? If you're having a beis din to hadaras nedarim, why are you allowed to do it standing? Why are they allowed to do it at night? Why are you allowed to do it with one Talmud Chacham? Why are you allowed to do it on Shabbos? Why are you allowed to do it with Krovim? Look at the next Shach. U'b'Shabbos afal gav t'b'chahay gav na b'din asur nidarim lav dinhu hataras nidarim. You're using a beis din, but it's not a beis din. Or it's not a din. And if it doesn't have any of the limitations that din has, you're doing it with the three people of a beis din, but it's not a din. And therefore, you don't have to fulfill any of those requirements. So if that's the case, if you could use three brothers, how about this? Could you use a lady for Hataras Nedarim? Could you use a katan for Hataras Nedarim? That's where Rebbe Kvega comes and says. When the Shulchan Aruch says, Ubikrovim, says Rebbe Kvega on the bottom of page 2, Niralani is daiti de'isha lo. A woman can't be a, even though her relatives could be on the beis din, a woman can't. Rabosai, what do you think a difference would be? Why would we say Krovim can be on the beis din, but a woman cannot be on the beis din? They're both possible midoraisa to be on a real beis din. How can for us...
In general, because Dayat and Kalos. Would that be...
Dayat and Kalos, that's why... Dayat and Kalos is a halach and hilchas yichud. Not a reason why they can't be... It's a gzeres hakas that they can't be a dayan. But you're allowing them... You're allowing Krovim, gzeres hakas, you can't have Krovim either.
They can never be on
Beit Din. Oh, that's what Rebbe Kvega says. A woman is mufkat. She's not in the parasha. She's not a dayan. She can't be a dayan. A man could be. It happens to be in this specific situation. His brother's also there. His father's also there. But he himself is a gavra who could be a dayan. That's exactly what Rebbe Kvega says. The dayan could krovim dein hapsul begufo derai ladon lemisheno krovo. Similarly, he says, at night. Why is night okay? Because the person is still a person who could be a dayan. Yeah, there's a technical detail that's at night. But the person is a roi to be a dayan. V'chein katan, nilani is daiti. He says that a katan is also going to be pasul. So a katan is, even though relatives are can be dayanim, but a katan is pasul, a woman is pasul. Okay, that makes sense. Now he gets to this question that, look at the end of this tshuva, Rebbe Kve'eger, uva tshuvas kesavti. Do you remember the shaila that he was asked? The businessman wants to matter neder, but it's a business secret. He doesn't want to tell anybody except his one young boy. The young boy is around bar mitzvah age, and therefore for Hataras Nedarim, where you need to be a dayan midaraisa, because Hataras Nedarim is daraisa, and the young boy, we don't rely on him being a daraisa. So what are we going to do? So you know what Rebbe Kve'eger says? Have three dayanim, and then add him on as a fourth. As a fourth dayan. What did we say before? Before we said, how many people do you have to tell, do you have to inform when you want to be matir neder? Only one of them. That halacha of informing the beis din as you're about to be matir neder, that's a din midrabanan. So that means that person who you're going to say is only din midrabanan. So on the beis din, you need a beis din of three people midaraisa. Gedolim, vadai. So what will you have? You have three vadai gedolim. Then you'll add on a fourth. Who's the fourth? The kid who you feel comfortable telling, he'll be the extra cog on the log. He'll be the extra guy who you'll tell. And that's anyway only Durabanan. So you could rely on the fact that he's only bar mitzvah without two Cyrus. You could rely, you could assume chazaka, Rabbi says we have a chazak that he is a bar mitzvah. You could tell him because that's only Durabanan to tell him. And your essential base then still has three dayanim. So you have all the things that you need. You told the base did, but you have three kosher dayanim daraisa, and that's what Rebbe Kve'eger said, is the solution to this case that I told you, of this businessman who wants to be matir neder. What's the only weakness in Rebbe Kve'eger's solution? Which I mentioned at the very end of my words between Menachem and Meirev. How many dayanim are there? How many dayanim are you usually supposed to have on a beis din? Only always an odd number. Apparently, what do you see Rebbe Kve'eger holds? He is. He's one of the four, because you had to tell one of the dayanim your secret.
He will vote.
So apparently, Rebbe Kve'eger holds that you're allowed to have four, an even number.
Or you can have five.
Correct, based on Shaggah. Right, that would have been, but Rebbe Kve'eger didn't say you should have a fifth. So from the fact that Rebbe Kve'eger says, add him on as a fourth, that means you could have an even number of people on your Hataras Nedarim based in.
Yeah, that's really because it's not decision making.
Oh, beautiful, 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 beautiful. You're the Chazan saying, when do we learn in the Gemara and Sanhedrin that you need a beis din that's odd? The odd is always to have
a decision, a
verdict,
a tiebreaker,
exactly. But here there's no discussion. They're just performing a function as a beis din. They're not making a decision, right? So therefore, that must be the lamus in Rebbe Kve'eger, why even though by a regular beis din you need it, you need an odd number here, it's sufficient to have an even number. I did hear when I was driving, I know I was going to be shiur on this tonight, so I listened to a shiur about, I would try to do that, listen to a shiur about the topic of what I'm about to give shiur on, so to get some more ideas. So Daniel Feldman, Shlita, a friend of mine, as a Rav in Tinek, a Rebbe in Yeshiva, he said that this Nakuda is actually subject to Machlokes. Rav Shlomo Kluger argues on this point. Rav Shlomo Kluger asks questions on Rebbe Kve'eger, he says, why are you allowed to have four? You have a problem of based in shakel, it's an even based in, you don't have the odd. So he must be, Shlomo Kluger is saying not like Yuchazen. He's assuming that the based in has to be a real based in, with the halach of the based in. Even though, interestingly enough, on one hand you have to have a real based in with the halach of odd numbers, but the people on the based in could be krovim, and you can still do it at night, and you can still do it mu'umad. So it's weird. You're telling me that it has the... It doesn't have any of the dinim of a beis din. You could do it with krovim and umad and balayla and on Shabbos, but the din of four you do need to have? Isn't that one of the dinim of beis din? So how can you need the din of four, but you don't need the other dinim? So he must hold that apparently four is the number of dayanim is the identity of the beis din. It's the part of the shame beis din. The chalos shame beis din is that you have three people. All the other things are details. Who are they? When are you sitting? Is it nighttime? Is it Shabbos? Are you how are you standing? Those are all details. But the nature of the basin is three people who are an odd number. That's the essential part of the basin. Everything else is detail. So you, that's what Rabbi Shlomo Kluger must hold. Okay, that's this section. According to Rabbi Shlomo Kluger, you'd have to have two people on, like you said before.
Five.
You'd have to have five, and one of them could be the 13-year-old who you'll tell the secret to. He's the one you trust. The other four you don't really trust, but you'll have everything that you need. According to Rabbi Shlomo Kluger, that's what would come out. I didn't see Rabbi Shlomo Kluger inside. That's what I heard from Daniel Feldman while I was driving today. Now, Rabosai, a lot of people wonder about the following. Do women have to do Hataras and Dharma? Because if they do, then they never do it. So here I have a quote. I have some sections here from Halicha Shlomo, Rav Shlomo Zalman. This was a posthumous sefer that was written about all of his ksavim, based on his tshuvas and a lot of things that they had from ksav yads, and they put it together in the sefer. But again, he didn't see it. He didn't write it. This is from him, from his teachings, but not that he didn't put the sefer together. So lo nagu lasos on the bottom of page 3. Lo nagu lasos be'er rashan ataras nadarim l'nashim. Women don't do ataras nadarim. What about, you said their husbands do it. Very nice. There are a lot of women who don't have husbands. They're bas mitzvah, whether they're 17, 18, or they're 70, 80. They don't have a husband. So look at what, this goes back to what Shalom said before. V'somchos amiras kol nidre. Exactly what you said before. That you have what to rely on. You have kol nidre at least. Even though you don't have, so why do we do Ataras Nadarim? We don't want to rely on kol nidre because for whatever reason. So we do an extra added level of protection, right? You know, like sometimes with your banks, they want an added level of protection. You know, you want a second authentication, set two level authentication.
Where is the Beis
Din?
What? Where is the
Beis Din? Where is the Beis Din? I guess the whole Tzibur is the Beis Din. Oh! They usually have, maybe it's the three people standing next to the Chazan, maybe it's the whole Tzibur. I don't know, it could be. Maybe the people holding the Sefer Torah, maybe.
That would be a
realness.
That makes sense that you have some.
Not sure. Because not every woman has a father to do it. You're saying, could that work? Could the father be matir? Just like a husband is matir his wives, could a father be matir his daughters? So first of all, the answer is actually no. I saw somewhere that a husband could do his wife's because ishto kegufo. You don't have that by a father. Could I point a shliach to go to the basin for me and get a hataras and dharma on my behalf? I'm busy. Erev Rosh Hashanah, I'm busy. I'm a baker. I have to bake all the challahs, the round challahs. I have to put every raisin in the raisin challah. You know how long it takes me to put those raisins in the right spots? You know, to make them even raisin. They don't want them all spoiling to the spot. I don't have time to go to shul Erev Rosh Hashanah. Tzafrir, do me a favor. You're going to shul Erev Rosh Hashanah? Do a tosin darim for me. You know, while you're there, put on tefillin for me and say Kriya Shema also. I really don't have time, Erev Rosh. I'm busy. Does that work? I believe that shlichus does not work for Hataras Nadarim. A wife works not midin shlichus, midin ishto kegufo. That's not the mechanism of shlichus. It's a different mechanism.
That wouldn't work with a father and a son.
Correct. It doesn't work for a father and a daughter because no ishto kegufo. It's just shlichus, like any other shlichus. And shlichus doesn't work. It does not work for Hataras Nadarim.
So that explains why women.
Therefore, we have to rely on Kol Nidre and we can't. They don't do Hataras Nadarim. So they must rely on Kol Nidre. No, a husband can do it for his wife because of ishto kegufo. And they should. They should. You know who else has to? Another person has to be careful with nadarim is a 12-year-old. There's no halacha that applies to 12-year-olds or 11-year-old girls. Everything is a bar mitzvah or not bar mitzvah. If bar mitzvah you're chayav, before bar mitzvah you're not. Except for what the Gemara calls mufla hasamach le'ish. When it comes to nadarim, the nadarim of a 12-year-old might be chal. If a 12-year-old or an 11-year-old girl understands what he or she is saying, that might be chal midaraisa. So here you have a little shtickle from Shlomo Zalman, the notes on the top of page 4. He says that he used to tell his children, grandchildren, when they would become 12 years old, that they should be very careful to always say Bli Nedar. Because a 10-year-old kid who makes a promise and other, it's meaningless, just like any other, you know, thing that they do. But once you're 12, then your nedarim could be chal, midoraisa. So he would tell his 12-year-old, when his kids, children, grandchildren would become 12, he would tell them, you know, be very careful with your words. Be very careful with your words. Now you're 12-year-old. It's a good way to teach children in a formal way of the, you know, how to be careful with your speech. Okay. Now, we mentioned before that Hataras Nedarim is allowed to be recited standing. It happens to be that there are two ways a basin could be matir neder. It's something called charata, and it's something called a pesach. We're not going to go into this at length because it's a long discussion in the Gemara Nedarim, but I'll regal achas. When I make a neder, and then let's say I make a neder that I'm going to keep Chal of Yisrael. I get married to a girl, and you know what her father does for a living? He has a chocolate store. He sells chocolates. Chal of Stam chocolates. And I'm supposed to help in the store, and they bring home food. Do you know what a miserable life I'm going to lead once I marry her, and not to be able to eat the chocolates that I, you know, there, it does take, milk chocolate is still a lot better.
Insurance policy.
So, I didn't know I was going to marry a girl. My shver, I was going to be a chocolate maker. Who would ever have thought a chocolate maker? I never knew there's a job called being a chocolateer. I never knew any. I know a chocolateer. A guy in my shul, when I was in Washington Heights, there's a guy in my shul whose father was a chocolateer. Chocolateer?
Madeline chocolate.
Yeah, there's a chocolate store in Miami. There's a very fancy chocolate store in Miami.
It's huge.
Oh, yeah?
Madeline
Chocolates?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. Okay. Okay, there you go. A chocolatier. Are they milkshakes?
Yes.
Okay, so some poor guy maybe was started keeping Chal of Yisrael when he was first year in. What?
It belongs to
Belzer Chassid. Okay, fine. So this guy is accepted upon himself the Chal of Yisrael. He marries this girl, and dad's a chocolatier, milk chocolate. What a miserable life. If I only knew that I'm going to marry a girl whose father owns a milk chocolate, Chal of Stam milk chocolate, I would never have made that neder. So that's a new bit of information that we didn't have previously. If I only knew something would have happened, I would never have made a neder. That's called a Pesach. You're finding a door. You're saying that there was a flaw. I never would have made the neder in the first place. Now, there's something else called charata. Charata means that the second I made the neder, you cut me off. You cut me off. I was driving down Lord Avenue. Shalom Golombek wanted to beat me, you know, to shul. He cut me off. I swore, and I don't use four-letter words. I use three-letter, you know, Torah words. I'm no dare that you should not get, and he says to not get hana from me. You should never get hana from me. I said it out of anger, out of rage. Thank you, Ms. Klinkowitz. I said it out of rage. I never would have said it if I was calm and benachas. People curse. Nowadays, people use four-letter words when they're enraged. In the old days, people used to make nedarim, right? The Gemara talks about a woman, maybe when she was giving birth, she made a neder to be with her husband. People do when they're in emotion. That's a neder that you never really made mitchila with your das. You regret it from?
First one.
Exactly. That's charata. As opposed to the case of the chocolate, the Chal of Yisrael with the chocolate, he was very happy for the first 4 years that after he made this neder. But 4 years later, he married this girl. Now he wants to be matir neder. That's a Pesach. Now, the Gemara says there's a difference between charata and a Pesach. Why? A charata, you don't have to analyze. The second he settles down from his rage, he realizes he did something stupid. He got angry and he made another. You asked your son, take out the garbage. No, I asked you to take out the garbage. I don't want it. He's busy playing on a video game. Take out the garbage, take out the garbage, take out the garbage, take out the garbage. I know that you can't ever play that video game again. Or you can't ever touch a cell phone again. You can't ever touch a computer again. Yeah, the next day you realize, what am I, is that crazy? I made another. So that, you'll do charata. To do charata, it's obvious. There's no, you don't have to think it through. To be matzah with a Pesach, there's a certain analysis that the Beis Din has to analyze. It's a Pesach, he would never have made it if he knew. Is it true that he would never have made it? Is it really big enough of a you know, what happens if his uncle is a, he marries a girl whose uncle is a chocolatier? It's not so clear. Your father-in-law, what your uncle, what you, if you, you really would never have made that nether if you only knew this would be able to happen. So therefore, in order to be matir with charata, it's easy. He said it when he was enraged. The next morning when he settled down, he was, I did a stupid thing. I said such a stupid thing yesterday. So charata, there, you could be matir that. The bezin could be matir that without much thought. Since they don't need much thought, they could do it standing. However, when you have a neder that you're matir through a Pesach, if I only realized this new situation arose, that if I knew that situation was going to arise 4 years from now, I would never have made it. I mean, initially, Pesach, not Charata, Pesach, that needs analysis. A Beis Din who is matir the neder through a Pesach, not Charata, but a Pesach, that Beis Din has to do it so sitting. Because it's something that needs more analysis.
It needs a judgment.
It needs a judgment of sorts. A judgment of sorts.
A dying for Charata? Or any your friend would be like, that's silly. You wouldn't
know. You could have three friends for both of them. They have to be a little bit intelligent. I mean, they have to be, the Gemara talks about...
So a 13-year-old boy, but this friend shouldn't...
One of them has to be a Gamir, Afal Pishen, a Savir. No, a Savir, Afal Pishen, a Gamir. I don't remember how we pass there. Should there be one adult who's somewhat intelligent, somewhat learned? It might be better. I don't remember. I'm not holding well enough in these halachas. Okay, let's finish up with another point or two. At the end of Hataras Nedarim, there's two parts to every Hataras Nedarim, of course. The first half of Hataras Nedarim, where you say, I would like you, Dayanim, to please be Matir my neder, and the Dayanim responds, say three times, Mochala Amutalach, Kishem Shematir, Bez Shematakach, you Matir, Bez Shemala. Okay, so that's the first step. And after that, the person who's standing there gets up and is Moser Moda. He says, I hereby announce that every neder that I make from here going forward is Batal. That's actually what Gemara says. The Gemara says, maybe that's what you do at Erev Yom Kippur. The Gemara says that a person should Erev Yom Kippur, on Erev Yom Kippur should say, that any, if a person doesn't want things to be, for himself to be caught during Nedarim, every Erev Yom Kippur, he should make an announcement, Moser Moda, make an announcement, that any Nedarim that I make this coming year are Bata. And there's a question, let's say when he makes the Nedar the following year, he remembers that he made that announcement Erev Yom Kippur. Well, if you remember it, and you're still going ahead and making a Nedar, what does that do? Again, if as I'm about to, it's in the middle of March, and he's about to make a neder, like a pledge to the shul, whatever it is. As he's making that pledge, he's going to give $100 to the, you know, to the whatever fund in shul. As he's making that pledge, he remembers that Erev Yom Kippur, that on Yom Kippur, Erev Rosh Hashanah, I'm sorry, the Gemara talks about Erev Yom Kippur, we do it Erev Rosh Hashanah, you made a modal, you made an announcement, and saying that everything, every neder that I make going forward is hereby batel, and I don't really mean it to be neder. If you remember that while you're about to make your neder in March or April, then why are you going ahead and making a neder?
The neder overrides that.
Oh, so the neder that you're making now in March or April will override that and it will be valid as a neder. It will be locked in as a neder.
Right.
However, if you made a neder in April or March, you totally forgot what happened, Yom Nara. It was months ago. Who remembers what happened 7 months ago? I don't remember what happened a week ago. Certainly 7 months ago. Well, that's exactly what you set yourself up to solve. You made that moda, that announcement before you, before Rosh Hashanah, at the end, that mesiras moda, that announcement, to help you in such circumstances later in the year that you, when you won't remember, you make an edit randomly, that's when it, where it helps. That's the mesiras moda. So too, Rav Shlomo Zalman points out here on the bottom of page 4, that sometimes you do something three times, me'ikar had during the year, you didn't say, I'm going to do this as a neder. You didn't use the word neder. We don't use the word neder too often. We say b'li neder all the time, which is a great thing to say.
People say, I swear.
People say, I swear. You're right. People do say, I swear.
By Shabbos, by Milchi, make Christmas come away.
Right. But they, right, they say,
which is why
you should say B'li Nadar.
The Gabbai makes the Kelmali, not the person.
Oh, I never thought of that. Because you can't be Madar somebody else. I never knew that. Fascinating.
Because I can make a Nadar for you.
What is a Nadar?
Babushu, no dead staka. No dead staka. Oh, that solves the problem. That's what you should say. That would be great. That would be. That's a fascinating thing. I never heard that. That the person that we specifically have the Gabbai say the Kelmale, so that the person himself shouldn't say Ba'avur Shani no der tztaka Ba'avur Haskos Nishmaso. So this way you have the Gabbai. He can't make another for me. That's very smart. I never heard that. Fabulous. So Rav Shlomo Zalman here at the end of page 4 says that certainly if you didn't use the word Nadir, you just did a Minhag Tov 3 times. Certainly, the Messias Nemodah that you did at Erev Rosh Hashanah should probably solve that. So, ideally, you should be Matu Neder. If you know Salih Minhag Tov that you did 3 times, ideally, you should be Matu Neder for it. But if you didn't, you probably, Mikra Din, could rely on the Messias Nemodah that you made at Erev Rosh Hashanah. I want to finish with one last point. A very beautiful, in this discussion, they quote a little bit about what Shlomo Zalman's Erev Rosh Hashanah looked like. And that's on the top of page 5. It says that much of the day he was busy giving out tzedakah. And it says, I'm going to read this to you because it's just written very beautifully. V'harbi mishalos yom erev Rosh Hashanah, v'chein bimei Rosh Hashanah atzma. Much of the day on erev Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah, asak, Reb Shlomo Zalman, and was involved himself, ba'amir tehillim b'soros rabba, with great fervor, said tehillim with great fervor. And also, when he saw the kids in his house, the bnei habayis hatzirim, the young people in his house, kishehivchin be'erev Rosh Hashanah, when he noticed that at erev Rosh Hashanah, b'dvarim shel ma'abakaf, they're just twiddling their time with, they're not using their time well, hayomer b'tochach, he would tell them, how in the world could you waste your time in these precious hours, these precious moments? Kishomdim fnei yom hadin v'hamishpat, kol ma'aseh shana shel chavah, you're about to stand b'din tomorrow for all the time, for all your, for giving an account for your whole year. And you're going to be determined, you're going to be sentenced to whatever's going to happen your whole year, what it's going to look like. How could you not, how can you not take advantage of these hours to use your Erev Rosh Hashanah productively to prepare for that mishpat? So I thought that is a good lesson for us. We still have a few days, Rabosai, to get ourselves in the mood and the mode to start setting ourselves up to success, for success, Bezus Hashem. For Erev Rosh Hashanah. So we should be zocha Bez Hashem that we should get mechila from all of our nedarim, and we should be zocha to HaKadosh Baruch should be machalas for everything. Just like the Bezin says, machalach, machalach, the poskim say, it's not mechila as in averas. It's mechila just in, as in you're not bound by the neder. But Hashem indeed should give us a complete mechila Bez Hashem, and we should be zocha to ksiva chesima tova. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. Hi, Shalom Aleichem.
Welcome, Shalom. How was your